Did you know that a group of turtles is known as a nest? We've got all sorts of awesome facts and more coming up. We got lots of info. Let's rock and roll. It's Did You Know with Rhino. Hello and welcome to this episode of Did You Know with Rhino. In case you didn't know, I'm Rhino. This is my show, and I know exactly what you're thinking. Slow and steady might win the race, but my jokes usually never do. In today's episode, we're going to have lots of fun, and you might even learn something. So without further ado, let's do this. In this show, we talk about all sorts of crazy stuff and randomness, but we don't do it alone. So today, we'll be graced with a special guest. He's our resident action film expert. He's also a crazy hype man and one heck of a paleontologist, if I do say so myself. Ladies and gentlemen, Nate Hampton. So, did you see any crazy, like, silly dance moves you haven't seen in forever today?
Jeez.
Like, did someone pull out the Cabbage Patch?
Well, someone always pulls out the Cabbage Patch. They do that, the sprinkler. It gets old school and weird real quick.
Before I left, I had a 6-year-old challenge me to a dance off in the middle of the store.
Man, that happens a lot.
Yeah, you know, like good for them. And then when you don't know all of their silly Fortnite dances, things get a bit weird.
Yeah. I inadvertently know them all. I'm not proud of it, but whatever.
it's now kind of your job to know them all.
Yes, it is. I'm like, whatever. You can like coax the dancing out of most children if you just start flossing, and then they all start doing it.
Yeah, that's the gateway dance.
Mm-hmm.
Like back in the day, it was the Macarena. Now it's the flossing.
Yep. Yeah, the flossing. You do the hype or Orange Justice.
I don't. Now you're just like naming off either Starbucks drinks or dance moves. I don't know. They both sound alike to me.
Well, the hype is the one where they like kick their leg and like punch their fist at the same time and they're jumping.
Oh, I thought that was like the door knock, like when it's a stubborn door.
I could use that next time.
And then the Orange Justice, is that the name of a superhero? Is that the other one?
No, it's the one where they kind of like put their hands up and down and they like wave them around and they bend their leg. It's weird.
So like they're kind of making a Christmas tree like outline with their hands?
Kind of. They just go and go up and go down. Manny does it all the time.
Oh, gotcha. I now know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to seeing more of those. Well, then let's do what we normally do at the beginning of each episode, and we'll talk about Ryan O. in the Mailbox of Doom. This is where I'll open up my mailbox, and we'll see what kind of chases after me. So the question I have for you, my friend, is have you gotten any weird like text messages or phone calls lately?
Have I gotten any weird text messages or phone calls lately?
Or emails?
Emails? Yeah, I keep getting, like, trying to sell stuff, and randomly it'll be like, it'll say from, like, Sarah, and it'll be like, hey, what's up? And I'm like, no, I don't know this. What is this?
Because the only Sarah's we would know wouldn't do it through email. They'd probably do it through, like, Facebook or Instagram.
Uh-huh. They're like, hey, you alone? I'm like, nah.
Why, yes. Are you still trying to sell me something?
Probably their body.
Oh, gross.
Which is unfortunate for them and me.
That would be a sad time for like all parties involved.
Mm-hmm.
I got this weird one. It was just a text message. I've been getting weird text messages lately. And this one starts off by saying, hi, Barbara.
Hi, Barbara, huh?
Yep. Hi, Barbara. You have a pending reward from Amazon Prime.
Oh.
And then it has a link. that nowhere in it has the word Amazon or Prime or reward in the link.
Aha.
So that's where I think they've got me.
Something is afoot.
Or a hand, one of the two. I know it's not a full body, that's for sure. It's just part of it.
Yep.
So like weird things like that have been sent in my general direction. I'm not too fond of it.
I did get a call like a month or so ago that said my social security number had expired and I need to call this number. I was like, that's not how social security numbers work.
Doesn't your social security number expire like after you've died?
I'm pretty sure it expires when I do. I was like,
yeah, I don't think they mean what they think they mean.
They're like, with a low with a low payment of $200, you can keep your social security number. I'm like, I don't think so.
Or you could just not do something and still keep your social security number.
There's also that. There's also that.
So on the Book of Faces, we also asked everybody what their favorite flavor of ice cream is. So I will run down the list here, and then you and I will talk about our favorites.
Okay.
So we got a mint chocolate chip.
Okay, that's classy.
Mint chocolate chip. So there are multiples. Chocolate. So it's a classic one. Mm-hmm. Birthday cake.
Not a fan.
Yeah, it's a bit sugary.
Yeah.
Chocolate. Rocky Road.
Okay, okay.
Chocolate chip cookie dough.
All right.
Batman responded Oreo. We got Earl Grey Lavender. That's the one you can get at the Wizarding World area at the Florian Fluticue, one of those Harry Potter places.
Okay. How pish posh.
Yes. Very fancy. Mint chocolate chip, butter pecan. Ooh, homemade. Have you ever had homemade ice cream?
Once or twice.
Where you put it in a giant thing and there's a bucket and someone turns the crank and
voila, ice cream.
Yeah, and then sometimes it turns all salty based on how you have to keep the ice from melting.
Yeah,
it tastes good up until it gets salty.
Yeah, you don't want your ice cream salty. It's counterintuitive.
Yeah, you want it to be sweet. Unless you're adding stuff into it like pretzels or nuts or something, then you can have a salt flavor to it.
Right.
Such as chocolate almond or butter pecan.
Ooh.
And mint chocolate chip. So far, a lot of chocolate chip related stuff.
Yeah. The most interesting response was the Earl Grey one.
The same person also responded, if that one wasn't good enough. They said, Häagen-Dazs Dulce de Leche.
Okay, someone's bougie. Someone bougie tastes in ice cream.
Or is it very specific and delicious? Because have you had both flavors?
I haven't had the Earl Grey one. I would feel like Jean-Luc Picard if I did, though.
I like my ice cream Earl Grey hot. It's like, that's not how you have ice cream, Jean-Luc. And he's like,
shut up, Wesley.
Slaps you across the face. One of these days, we'll have to go there and record the audio of us tasting it.
Okay, I'm down.
Just to give people an experience, or just film it and put it on the Twitter page itself.
I'm down either way.
That'll be good trips. So, what is your favorite ice cream flavor?
My favorite? I'm simple. I've always been a big fan of strawberry.
Just plain old strawberry?
Just some strawberry ice cream. I can always get down on some strawberry ice cream.
Nice. So even like strawberry shortcake or like just basic strawberry?
Just basic strawberry, but I wouldn't turn away strawberry shortcake.
Now there's also an entire discussion we could have on how a strawberry shortcake should be had, but that's a dangerous rabbit hole I don't want to go into. So I will respond by saying, my favorite flavor is the Tonight Dough. That's one of those Ben and Jerry's.
Okay.
It's got a bit of everything. It was sponsored by The Tonight Show. Jimmy Fallon decided to be like, yo, I want a flavor of ice cream. So the Tonight Dough, let me tell you what's in it. The Tonight Dough ice cream from Ben and Jerry's, based on benjerry.com. It says it has caramel and chocolate ice cream with chocolate cookie swirls and gobs of chocolate chip cookie dough and peanut butter cookie dough.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah, man. It's a mouthful of awesomeness.
You're going to need a glass of milk with that.
Or just another scoop of this.
Right.
I'd eat an entire pint just because I could.
Well, there you go then. Money well spent.
Exactly. But I only get them when they're on sale. So like if you go into your local grocery joint and you notice that it's a BOGO opportunity, I will get two of those and call it a day.
That's how places get you. You're like BOGO. You start getting BOGO of stuff you don't even need.
But the second one's free, man.
I know, but it's a slippery slope.
And then what if it's not free? Do I still want to? I don't know. Maybe. Okay.
The answer is yes.
So next time you're out, if you see us out in public, get me a Tonight Dough or just chocolate. I'll take chocolate. And then get him some vanilla. Or no, get you some strawberry. And then the person can have vanilla. So like if they get Neapolitan, you get 1/3. I get 1/3. And the person who wants to buy it for us gets the other 1/3.
Works for me.
And that's how you split ice cream. We just solved world peace. What up?
And that's just at the beginning of the show.
We've got so much to go through. So if you out there wanted to ask us any questions, you could email us at didyouknowryano@gmail.com. You could also send us a tweet at didyouknowryano. Or, of course, go on the Facebook page, which is Did You Know with Ryan O. So that leads us into the word of the day. What would you say is the craziest word that you've heard come out of a kid's mouth today?
Today?
Yeah.
A small child looked at me while I was dancing, and I forget what I said. I was like, "Ooh, you just got served." And he was like, "That's balderdash." I went, "What?"
Does he know how old that word is?
I was like, codswallop.
What happened? Did like some Civil War general die and like get reincarnated into this kid's body?
I was taken aback. It was
flabbergasted.
It was something. I was just like, what in the? And the parents were like, and I was just, and I hear some weird stuff at my job. Just.
These kids do indeed say the darndest things.
They do.
But so do adults. So do adults. So our word of the day is intoxicate. So let's talk about intoxicate first. Nate, what do you think it means?
Intoxicate?
Yes.
Well, when you have too much of something and it impairs your judgment, you're intoxicated.
Based on its secondary definition, to excite or stupefy by alcohol or a drug, specifically to the point where physical and mental control is markedly diminished. You just got it. Nail on the head. Nice work.
It's cool.
Its first version is poison, so you can poison someone.
Poison.
Yeah. Or alcohol.
Simple.
So the Latin term for poison is toxicum.
Okay.
Toxicum. So intoxicate, toxicum. So that's Latin. It's kind of funny. So related verbs to poison, and so now both of them are kind of obsolete. We just have to like people talk about flowers and perfumes having the power to intoxicate. That's more of a like metaphorical intoxication, kind of like a sense of euphoria or a overwhelming passion or drive. That's what people have been using intoxication for. But we knew it. We know it more of as, hey, like Jordan over there decided that he wanted to have 8 pints of beer and then get like 3 shots of tequila. And now we know him as intoxicated Jordan.
I would know him as dead Jordan.
That's fair. That's fair. That's a good one.
8 pints, Jesus.
He might visit Jesus afterwards.
You might.
So that is our word of the week. Do you feel like you can technically use it a lot more useful after this moment?
Yeah, I feel like I'm well versed in intoxicated.
As we should be, because you want to make sure you know about it before you get there.
Yeah, you got to know about it before you can be about it.
I'm going to edit out my cough. That was a weird one. So now let's talk about, let's go into some weird and crazy laws that exist, but probably shouldn't, in this bit known as I Can't Believe That's a Law. I was looking up a bunch of laws today just from Florida itself. And
oh, this should be good.
Yeah, let's talk about. I'm gonna give you half of the law here, and I want you to fill in the blank. So these are, you cannot. Let's see, standard parking fees will apply to any blank that is tied to a parking meter in Sarasota. What is that blank?
Okay, I'm going to put on my full Floridian hat. Any blank that is tied to a parking meter?
In Sarasota, Florida.
In Sarasota. My funny guess would be alligator. But my actual guess, I would have to say bicycle.
You'd be wrong on both accounts. It's an elephant.
It what?
Yep. It's an elephant, according to fueleandjurylaw.com, as of this past year, it is elephants. So let's go on to our next one.
That means it's happened.
That's exactly what that means.
That's what.
In order to have a crazy law, something had to have happened.
Some dude just had an elephant tied to a parking meter. He's like, there's no law about that. They're like, there damn well will be.
And speaking of that sort of mentality, blank are no longer motor vehicles.
I don't know. Camels?
A camel doesn't have a motor in it.
Yeah, I don't know, man. This is getting weird. Okay, blank are no longer motor vehicles. I don't know, one of those little skateboards with the motor in it?
It is a swamp buggy.
A swamp buggy.
Now, a swamp buggy is one of those vehicles that looks like a giant tractor that can fit like 8 people on top of it.
Oh, okay. I know what those are now.
That's a swamp buggy, but it's no longer considered a motor vehicle. Therefore, you can't ride them on the highway.
Awesome.
Let's see. Under law, men cannot wear blank in public, but the law does not regulate other types of blank. So it's a specific type of something. So it's a double blank.
No longer can wear blank in public.
Yep. Men can no longer wear blank in public.
I don't know. Banana hammocks?
Strapless dresses. But the law does not regulate other types of dresses. So you can wear a dress. It just has to have straps.
Ha. Huh. Man, Florida's weird.
So let's do 2 more.
Okay.
People cannot sell blank on the streets of Miami.
Mountain Dew.
That'd be tragic. Like, what if you want your dew? Like, man, I need my dew fix. It's oranges.
Oranges. You know, actually, I probably should have guessed that.
Anyone who violates this law can spend up to 30 days in jail.
Wow. And you mess around with oranges in Florida.
And here is another one. It is illegal for women to fall asleep under a blank.
Ooh. Fall asleep under a man.
It that would just be like absolute tragic, wouldn't it? Like,
it's common courtesy.
how do you regulate that sort of thing? Like,
I don't know, a tree?
It's hair dryers.
What?
It's a hair dryer. So like at a salon, like when you're getting your hair done, you can't fall asleep in the chair while a hair dryer is happening.
Okay, in my head, I just pictured a woman blow drying her hair at home and fall asleep, and the cops kick down the door.
Ah! Well, there's that too. That could also be a thing. Because you never know. Florida is absolutely weird. So that's gonna be our I can't believe that's a law segment. Because I really can't believe that's a law.
I've learned so much.
And we're about to learn so much more because of the weirdness and craziness that happens in Florida. So this is called Only in Florida. Things are so crazy, so ridiculous, that can only happen here. I'm going to tell you the name of the article, and I want your first impression. Are you ready?
Of course.
Man arrested for yelling about how terrible Florida is.
Okay, so I'm guessing a man was stuck on I-4.
Like you do.
And just got out of his car and it was halfway to Michael Douglasing his way through the traffic on I-4. And just started spewing nonsense about how much he hates it because traffic brings out the rage in people.
I like your story better, and I would like to see that as a part of a moment in a romantic comedy where just some dude is just freaking out. This was actually, it happened on the day after Thanksgiving in St. Petersburg. A man was just outside it doesn't say where, he was just outside, and he was just violently shouting about how terrible Florida was and how every other state was superior.
I don't know. Has he been to Delaware?
I haven't. That's one of the very few states I haven't been to.
If you've learned anything, you can learn it from Wayne's World. Hi, I'm in Delaware. It's nothing.
Good to know. Take it from Wayne and Garth. And so that's going to be our crazy Florida story of the week, about a man got arrested just for shouting violently about Florida stinks, Florida sucks, over and over again.
And then people were so offended, they were like, not about my city. And then they just had him arrested.
Would you think in a world where people are like raised on South Park and Family Guy that they'd be less offended over stuff?
That is the exact opposite of the world we live in, my friend.
It's tragic. So let's shift over into something a little bit less tragic with our scientific fact of the week. Nate, how deep would you say the ocean is?
It's insanely deep. I don't know. Every time I'm in the ocean, I look down and I see nothing. I'm like, I got to get out of here.
So how big of a nothing would you say would like be underneath you? Like, if you were to compare its size to something?
I don't know. I know you can fit the entire city of New York in the ocean.
I'm glad you said the city of New York. The ocean is on average 12,000 feet deep. That's on average, which is about 8 Empire State Buildings stacked on top of each other.
Aha! That's why I said New York. I think I remember that stat.
Oh, yes. I figured we were on the same wavelength. But the deepest part of the ocean is about 36,000 feet. That's the Marianas Trench. And that's more like 25 Empire State Buildings stacked on top of each other.
Yeah, that's unacceptable. I don't know what's down there.
That's, you know how high some planes go, like above, like the 30, like the mile high? That's like a mile down.
Cool.
Yeah, that's nuts and insane. And that's going to be our scientific fact of the week, which will lead us into our commercial break.
Did you know with Rhino?
We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor. This episode has been brought to you by Everyday Cosplay Finds. Ever wanted to show off your favorite character or group of characters, but don't see things online that match your style? Then check out Everyday Cosplay Finds, bringing cosplay into your everyday. Go to Etsy.com/shop/everydaycosplayfinds for more information. And now back to our show.
Did you know with Rhino?
All right. So did you enjoy your commercial break?
Oh, it was everything I ever could have wanted out of a commercial break.
Were you able to take a nap during the commercial break and learn more about who you are as a person?
In fact, I learned a little too much. I wish I could forget some things.
Well, let's forget some things, but remember some other stuff. Recently, you and I had a conversation while we were hanging out, and we were able to relive our love for a very specific thing that came out in the 80s and 90s that was a big pop cultural hit. So my question to you is, do you have turtle power?
Yes. Yes, I do.
So the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles came out in the 80s. They were lots of fun. Originally derived it was a comic book created by Kevin Eastman and Peter Laird, and it was four anthropomorphic turtles in the Mirage Studios comic book in 1984, and they had like all sorts of weapons and were fighting people, and they had like red bandanas back in the day. Each one had a red bandana, so it was hard to tell who was who except for what weapon they had. But then the characters started to develop more of a personality as time went on, and even so, the personality still went more and more to the fact that they became such lovable icons. And they decided to make a movie about it in 1990. So I believe that's what you and I are going to talk about today.
Sweet.
So in rewatching this movie, because that's what we do when we go after all sorts of craziness, what were some of your first thoughts upon rewatching the movie?
Like, honestly, a lot of stuff from back then doesn't age too terribly well, but that one aged pretty well. It's all practical effects, so it just looks like New York City in the 90s.
And so we go after, let's break down that statement right there about practical effects and looking like New York City. Practical effects, it was actually done by the Jim Henson Company. Because of the director working with them in one of their previous movies. Like, it wasn't Labyrinth. Was it Dark Creatures? It was one of those guys. And so they worked on it together. And so then Jim Henson was like, yeah, let's do all this together. But they were kind of upset with how dark and how much violence it was in it. It was The Storyteller, 1987. The director, Steve Barron, he directed the movie and also did the pilot episode of The Storyteller. So it was kind of a favor to him. But then also you said New York. Some of it was filmed in New York to capture famous landmarks, but most of the movie took place in North Carolina.
That's true. That's probably all the spots on the, what is it, the farm or whatever they were at?
And any of the buildings, like in the front when Raphael saves April from the foot for the first time.
Oh, and he loses his sigh?
And then he utters a curse word extremely loud.
Well, he does. I was watching this thing on YouTube. It had the best moments of that movie. And it has every time he says damn. Because he has some. He goes by different inflections each time. One, he's like, damn. That one, he just kind of whispers, damn.
Yeah,
when he's,
you're right.
When he's chasing Casey Jones is when he gets really pissed. And he goes, damn! And like it echoes through all of New York City.
Because you get Casey Jones, which we'll get into. Like just that fight was so unexpected that when you're the top dog and someone like knocks you on your butt, you're like, okay, what's next? So let's get into the movie moment by moment, shall we? It does open up with April O'Neil in her signature yellow trench coat that she only wears for the first 30 seconds. And she gets attacked by these sketchy looking ninjas that belong to the Foot Clan we learn about. And she gets saved by Raphael. And then he heads back home to hang out with his brothers.
I thought it was, he was saved. She was saved by all of them because there's a lot of.
Ooh, you're right. You're right.
And he's just the last one because he loses his sigh. And then he's all angry walking back into the place. He's like, I gotta go get it. I gotta get back. And they're like, dude, chill.
Yeah, then Splinter was like, it is lost. He's like, I can get it back. I can get it back. It's let lost.
Go.
That's great. So the Foot Clan, going back to the creation of the Ninja Turtles, the creators decided that they wanted to utilize the same accident that created Daredevil, which was chemicals being splashed on his eyes, which made Daredevil blind. They thought, great. What if that went into the sewer and created these turtles and gave them, made them giant and huge? And so in an homage to the Hand, which is the ancient ninja organization that Daredevil and most of the Marvel Universe fights, they decided to call their ninja clan the Foot. Because that's what you do.
Uh-huh, yeah, man.
So we learn... we learn that these turtles were once ordinary animals but mutated into intellectual creatures by toxic waste. And that's when they meet April. And she freaks out.
Yeah, she handles it well.
Yeah. She's like... You don't see her going to a shrink. Like, if this movie was made in the late 90s, like after Sex and the City, you'd have a scene with April O'Neil talking to a shrink. Like, and then you've got like Michelangelo, and he's kind of weird. And
he just keeps hitting me with one-liners and talking about pizza.
And how can these guys like pizza so much?
Where did they get all the pizza? I like how they have a working payphone down in the sewer.
which you wonder, did Donatello install it himself, or was it always there?
I would think it was Donatello because he's the smart one. He probably hooked it up.
I thought about that in the shower the other day. Like, how did they get that down there? How did they get the right lighting?
True. A lot of things. You kind of glossed over your favorite part, the part where they order pizza in the beginning.
Oh, no, you're so right. So once they get back, they're like, okay, let's order a pizza after Splinter, which is the giant rat who's their surrogate father who raised them and found them. He yells at them and then they order a pizza. So you get Michelangelo and Donatello are sitting in the sewer. And they're basically having some sort of like like psych or philosophical conversation about life and pizza. And while they're waiting about pizza, and they decided, you know, pizza dude's got 30 seconds. Because a wise man once said, forgiveness is divine, but never pay full price for late pizza. So
sage words.
And they tricked the pizza guy into being late, and because their address was 122 and an 8.
So yeah, like, where's 122 and an 8? You're standing on it, dude.
Which that guy was actually one of the turtles. He was normally in the turtle outfit, but so a lot of these people who were inside the turtle suits actually had on camera roles as well.
Oh, that's fun.
So he was one of those dudes. Oh, it's such a fun line. And then they learn about all sorts of cool words, and they're talking about like radical, bodacious. They're always trying to figure out how to describe the time that they had.
Oh, it's good stuff. I like some of the like differences between like the comics, the cartoon, and the movie. Because in this, the Foot Clan is just angsty teenagers. In the comics and the cartoon, they're like robots that blow up.
Well, because if you destroy robots based on the code, like the cartoon code back in the 80s and 90s, you can kill like hundreds of robots. You can put a sword through a robot, but you put a sword through an actual person and you can't show that to kids. That's violence.
That's true. That's true. And also the origin story of Splinter is just slightly different in the movie. He's always been a rat that was living with Amato Yoshi.
As opposed to him being Amato Yoshi himself?
Yes, that was turned into a rat. Yeah.
I think they decided to make the he was a rat the entire time, like make that canon. I think that would be a smart idea.
Yeah. I would agree.
Yeah, he's a mutated or reincarnated martial artist. That's what they're saying online. So there are many different versions of it. So after they rescue April and send her home, and then Splinter was kidnapped by the Foot, they return to April's apartment and spend the night there. But they wake up and they find April's boss and his boss's son, Danny. And this is where the movie starts to lose me. There's a couple things that don't hold up. And Danny's one of them, because as a redhead myself, he gives us a bad name.
Yeah, he's rough. He's rough.
He's a punk.
He's just the worst.
He robbed somebody. His dad had to like bail him out of jail for all sorts of silly things he did. And then when they're in April's apartment, Danny glimpses one of the turtles hiding, and he tattles on them to the Shredder, which the Shredder is the guy who originally killed Splinter's master.
Yep.
And he's the bad guy who's in charge of the entire ninja clan who wants to run New York.
Yeah, him and young Sam Rockwell.
Which is great, like in Sam Rockwell, like he's hanging out in their warehouse and he's giving everybody a tour, and they have some great like poots type of music, disco rocking, come on baby, like early 90s, late 80s stuff.
Oh yeah, it's good stuff. And it's like, you guys got any cigarettes? Regular menthol.
It's like, we got everything. Like what you want? Oh, he's so young. So then he reports him to the Shredder, and then the Shredder sends most of the Foot Clan to April's apartment. And because Raphael and Leonardo, they're brothers, they always argue. Raph goes to the roof, and the Foot Clan ambush him, and he gets knocked unconscious. And the rest of the turtles fight to try to take down all these guys. And they're assisted by the vigilante known as Casey Jones. Nate, tell everybody about Casey Jones.
I kind of forgot what his day job was, even if he had one. It's been so long, but he was a vigilante that had a hockey mask and like a duffel bag full of sporting equipment that he would just beat people up with. And he would exact justice in his own way.
It looks like, let's see, when he was young, his father owned an auto shop. And then these gang members burned the shop down, killed his father, and took his mother and sister hostage.
Okay. Grim.
Yeah. So they don't even say like what his actual day job is. They say he became a vigilante because he watched too many bad cop shows.
Okay. Less grim.
So there's many different versions of it. Yeah, like I'm still looking at like, oh, and then some of them, he was a young scholarship holder until his mother she died, and his dad became an alcoholic thug, and then he would try to escape and like really grew into hockey, and it just gets so dark.
Sounds like it.
Anyways, Casey Jones likes utilizing his mask, which is a goalie mask, almost like Jason.
But it looks kind of like the Punisher logo.
Yeah, and so like his weapons are just sports things that he finds lying around. So when Raphael was walking through the city, like you were talking about, he stopped some thugs, and Casey Jones was also trying to stop the same thugs. And so the two of them got into a little bit of a squabble because they didn't know who each other were until Casey used a cricket bat and took down Raphael.
Cricket? You got to know what a crumpet is to know about cricket.
There's just so many good one-liners.
I just love a Jose Canseco bat. Tell me. You didn't pay money for this. He goes, it was a 2-for-1 sale. Hits him with another one.
It's just, you could watch the movie without listening to it, but you would be doing yourself an injustice.
Mm-hmm.
Because the one-liners truly make it so much better. It's so much campier. So back to Casey helping them out of fighting the Foot. The building catches on fire, and the Turtles retreat to a farm belonging to April's family. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And she gets fired while it's burning down on a voicemail.
And then she gets mad because Casey was the person who remembered that, and he let her know, like, very quickly, oh yeah, don't bother going back. Chuck said you're fired.
And like, ew.
I don't think during that entire scene, like, Michelangelo says anything like during the whole farm bit.
Not really.
It's a lot of Corey Feldman as the voice of Donatello and Leonardo voicing a lot of concern.
Mm-hmm. Mikey does have one of the better moments when they're at the little farmhouse, when Casey's giving April like a massage, and he comes in and he's a little sore, and he opens the cabinet and he's looking around. He finds a thing of turtle wax and goes, nyak, nyak.
Which apparently was a deleted scene. Like he was supposed to have hinted more into the whole turtle wax thing, but they decided to give it more of a more kid friendlier tone.
Okay.
So they decided to remove that bit into this. So while they're hanging out there, Donatello and Casey Jones are basically becoming BFFs while they're fixing up all of the farm stuff and all the truck equipment and whatnot.
And they fix up the truck.
Which they get to play one of my favorite games, which you and I should adopt, where they take each take a letter of the alphabet and call each other names. Like I would call you an aardvark, and then you
bonehead.
Yeah,
if we're keeping it.
And then I don't know. Like I can't think. Let me. But anyways, so that's what we would go for like a cricket head.
Yeah, they were coming up with some random clever ones, and I was like, okay.
Like hose brain.
They were like, did we do G? We're on G. Okay.
I love it. It's so good. So Raphael, he ends up being okay, and April and Casey start falling in love, and then Leo contacts the Splinter through astral projection. We're just going to let that go. Just, sure, I buy it. You know, like, sure, it's a thing.
And Donatello brought s'mores to the fire.
Because why not? I mean,
he's like, I came prepared. And Leo was like, put those away. He's like, oh.
So they find out that the Splinter is alive, and they go back to New York to rescue him. And so, like, during this time, Danny has been talking to Splinter, who, like, tells him the story of Oroku Saki, who is the Splinter, who killed his master. And then Danny learns that the Shredder is terrible. He and Casey Jones set him free. And then the Shredder finds out that the Turtles are all, they're alive.
Back.
Yeah. These Turtles.
They're back. And then that music was like, dun, 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 like, and Foot Clan are coming out of nowhere.
And he's been brainwashing them all to do all their work for him. And it's nuts. The entire Foot Clan goes and charges into the sewers where the Turtles live, and they take them out, and there's all these fights happening on the street, and it's nuts. And we get to the crazy fight of the Shredder versus the four Turtles,
where they just get owned.
Except for, like, Leonardo is the only one who actually lands a hand on the Shredder.
Yeah, he cut him. And then got swiftly backhanded.
he cut him just like his surrogate father, the Splinter, did.
Mm-hmm.
And then Oroku Saki remembers that it was Splinter who gave him his little scar, and he challenges him to a fight. So it's not the Turtles who take him out. It's Splinter who takes out Shredder's Yari, that's what that thing is called, with Michelangelo's nunchuck, leaving him dangling over the roof's edge. And Splinter was going to save him, but then Shredder threw a knife at him, and Splinter was like, shh, forget it. And the Shredder, like, went in. he starts screaming as he's falling into the garbage truck.
And Casey Jones goes, oops, and like,
and he compacts the garbage trucks, and it, like, flattens the Shredder.
I was like, dang, he is super dead.
or so we think.
Mm-hmm.
And so then now with all the Turtles reunited with their father, they're all hanging out on the rooftop, and April and Casey kiss for the first time, and that's when they're trying to also use these fun words to try to describe how good of a time they're having.
This is a bodacious and
radical.
Excellent.
And then Splinter does his thing.
I've always preferred cowabunga.
And then they go, cowabunga.
I made a funny, and then T-U-R-T-L-E
power. It's great. And then we get a MC Hammer doing the closing credits song.
It's good stuff.
And that's the Ninja Turtles movie in a nutshell. So what are your overall thoughts based on how well you liked it, like what you remembered about it.
Oh, I still love the movie. I bought like a original print of the poster and have it hanging on my wall, nice and framed.
Is that the one where the four heads are coming out of the manhole with the city behind them?
Yeah, it goes lean, mean, and on the big lean, green, and on the big screen.
Because the tagline for the cartoon was lean, mean fighting machines.
Yeah, and it was hey dude, this is no cartoon.
and so they recreated that as a cartoon version for like the new Ninja Turtles cartoon, and they said, hey dude, this is a cartoon.
Oh yeah, that's pretty cool.
So let's see what else we got. Skeet Ulrich and Scott Wolf were actually uncredited as members of the Foot.
Wow, Skeet Ulrich, huh?
Yeah. And also according to Wikipedia, Casey Jones was a former ice hockey player.
Okay.
So he was probably professional for like minor league or whatever.
Okay.
And then probably got kicked out for fighting.
Roughing.
Yeah. Exactly. So I guess it's time to talk about our favorites and our worst. But before we get into that, one small thing. How much do you think this movie cost?
It couldn't have cost too much.
I'll give you a hint. It was an independent film.
Okay, yeah. I was like, there's no way this movie cost too much. And I think that's why it's good. Yeah, less hands in the cookie jar. You know what I'm saying?
If you were to give them a number just off the top of your head, what number would you guess it would be?
I'd say 3 million.
It's quite a bit larger than that. It's $13 million is what this movie costs.
That's still not much if you think about it.
No, because most romantic comedies cost about that nowadays.
Because you don't have to do anything.
And apparently during its box office life, it made $202 million.
Cha-ching!
And that forever, because it was either going to tank the Ninja Turtles or it was going to make them forever live in infamy for its awesomeness. So speaking of the Ninja Turtles' awesomeness, let's go on our best and worse when it comes to the movie. Let's go for the weirdest category. Outfit. What would you say is your favorite outfit?
My favorite outfit. Oh man. I like how they recreated the trench coat and the hat thing that the Ninja Turtles wore. When they wanted to go out into the streets.
With Raphael people. Fighting Casey Jones?
Yeah, and he went to go see, I think it was Critters, in theaters.
They said there was going to be another version of it based on how the popularity of what was happening that year. They were going to change it to him walking out of a theater and saying, his outfit's weird, but I like the car. And in the background, you see Batman.
I would have been on board with that.
So they changed that to it. I'm going to say my favorite outfit was April in her yellow jacket because it reminded me so much of the cartoon.
Nice. I like it.
What about least favorite outfit?
Least favorite outfit? Most of the costume design was pretty good. I didn't like most of the stuff Danny was wearing. It didn't really make sense.
Same. So if you guys type in Danny Ninja Turtles, just type in Danny. Go to Google Images. Any single outfit he wears, especially like his yellow fire shirt that he's got on.
Yeah.
Ugh.
It's rough.
Yeah, it's super annoying. I can't. So there's that one. And in Casey, I prefer him to have his mask on.
Yeah. I liked him with the mask on, but I knew, like, he's an actor. He wants his face seen, so they're going to take the mask off.
Yeah, that part made sense. Shredder was purple, so I totally bought that. So, yeah. So besides that, let's also go into our favorite characters and least favorite characters.
Okay.
So what you got on the favorite route?
My favorite characters, obviously the turtles.
So who's your favorite turtle?
My favorite turtle is and will always be Michelangelo, followed closely by Donatello.
And Raphael is normally my favorite, but in this movie, it's Donatello.
He's funny. He's quippy.
And that's why, like, I think Feldman originally did it because, like, it's going to be a small independent film. No one's going to see it. Like, no one cares. And then they move on. And no, it was a huge hit. Everyone saw it.
I think it was, was it Michelangelo and Donatello that have a eulogy for the pizza?
Yes. because Danny apparently ordered pizza like 15 days ago, and he's like, what's on it? And Donatello's like, you like penicillin on your pizza? Which clearly means there was mold.
I ordered pizza a few days ago. It might still be some leftover. They were like, and they were like frantically looking for the pizza.
As you do. I would if there was still pizza in the house.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, so they said in one of the sites that one of the stunt actors, because you've got the regular puppeteers, you've got the stunt actors who the mouth barely moves, but the entire body does when they're doing all the big fights.
Right.
One of the stunt actors who did Donatello, he got injured. So they had to get a young guy who is about that same size to fit inside the costume. And the person they got was Ernie Reyes Jr., who plays a big part in number two coming up. Little Kino.
Oh, Kino.
So least favorite character, who you got?
It's Danny. It's always going to be Danny.
Yeah, I'm with you, but I also think that the police chief was really annoying.
He was kind of an asshole for the one scene that he was in.
And he was always riding Miss O'Neill. I think that's what it is, because of him shouting O'Neill all the time. I think that's what got to me.
Oh, yeah.
I could possibly relate. I don't know why, maybe. But he's just always shouting, like, hey, O'Neill. And it's like,
you're like flashbacks.
So let's talk about our favorite line What you got for your favorite line?
Well, my favorite line is like a grouping. It's in the last scene, the last fight scene in the streets when they're fighting all the Foot Clan, and it's when Michelangelo and Donatello are just like throwing one-liners off each other. Michelangelo's like, we could really shell it out. And he's like, two derivative. And he's like, he's like, this guy's really suffering from shell shock. He's like, too cliche. He's like, that was one shell of a good hit. He goes, I like it. And I was
like, so it's their rolling commentary on each other's jokes.
Yeah. It was just like, I like it. I was like, okay. That's always been my favorite part.
My favorite line, of course, is the never pay full price for late pizza.
That's a great spot.
That's a great mantra for life.
I mean, it really is.
My least favorite line is when the Foot are trying to ransack April's dad's like building and whatnot, the apartment, the clutter room, as I like to call it. It's where they're like, whoa. And I thought insurance salesmen were pushy. it's such a groaner. I'm just like, okay, fine. It just doesn't land for me. What do you got? What makes you groan when it comes to their one-liners?
The worst one-liner.
or the worst line in the movie?
Most of it's not bad, but I forget exactly what he says, but it's when Casey Jones is fighting that, like, Shredder's, like, right-hand man. I forget his name.
I can look it up in 4 seconds. Let's see. Wikipedia to the rescue. Wikipedia Ninja Turtles scrolling on down to the bottom. And his name is Tatsu.
Yeah, him. And he was like, and he decided to get all like preachy. He's like, you follow this, this is your life. And I'm like, eh, Casey, that ain't you. That ain't your character.
Yeah, he gets a little bit too ridiculous, too cliche.
Yeah, too cliche. That's just not who Casey Jones is.
And so our... So my least favorite moment in the movie is Danny running away. Like, they're in this dad's car in the middle of the street in like rush hour traffic, and he just leaves. He just shouts at his dad and leaves the car like a wuss.
Yeah, he does a lot of that.
That'd be one of my least favorite moments. What you got?
My least favorite moment. Oh boy, that's a tough one for me. I would probably have to go with the one part where they're going back to like the warehouse and Tatsu's walking around and he's just doing the and this one kid is just beating the crap out of another kid.
And then he starts beating the crap out of that kid.
You'll never lower your eyes to an opponent.
apparently, he was according to the script, the kid was supposed to have been dead.
Oh yeah, and he does. He like murks that kid. The kid just doesn't get up.
And so they had to add a look of him breathing and sounds of him breathing to make it so he actually didn't die.
Okay.
That's pretty dark.
Yeah, there's a lot of that with Tatsu.
So then what do you got as your favorite moment in the film?
My favorite moment in the film. I like, other than the moment that I told you where they're bantering back and forth, is when they're fighting in April's place and the guy walks up with the nunchucks and Michelangelo goes, ah, a fellow chucker, eh? And they have a little nunchuck battle. And then he just starts spinning it on his finger. He's like, keep practicing. And then a big old fight ensues.
And like, does it sound like someone jump over Michelangelo's head just to knock him out?
Yeah, I think it's Leo.
That's epic. You're right. Like, that's Raphael's defeat. That's...
Yeah, so it's not Raph.
Yeah. So then Leo jumps over, takes him out, calls it a day.
And then hundreds of people are just fighting in this small building.
there's also a moment, of course, the pizza dude is one of my favorite moments because I love pizza. There's a moment about an hour into the film where they're trying to take out the foot one more time, but they do it in... Oh, the foot go into their building, but they're nowhere to be seen. Then all of a sudden the mains break and the entire room gets all smoked out and you just hear boop choo 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 choo. And then the smoke clears and the only people that are standing are the turtles who weren't there when they started.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
And that just screams Ninja Turtles, like, to me. If it's not them going like cowabunga, if it's not them talking about pizza, it's the fact that they're foremost teenagers who are also ninjas. Would you recommend this movie to other peoples?
Oh yeah, 100%.
As would I. If you are ever interested in crazy, ridiculous action films, if you want something that's funny and a comedy and you like turtles, then you need to watch this, especially if you've only seen the Michael Bay movies. Shame on you. You should watch these two.
Yeah, it'll make you love them again.
So before we wrap this up, is there anything you'd like to say to the folks at home?
You know what? Cowabunga, guys. Cowabunga.
That is quite bodacious and radical. So our question of the week out there is going to be, what's your favorite moment in the Ninja Turtles movie? We'll post it on the Facebook group. You let us know what you think. If you want to go to that Facebook group, it's Did You Know with Ryan O. You could also respond on the Twitter page at Did You Know Ryan O. Or send us an email, didyouknowryano@gmail.com. As always, find your awesome, hold on to it, and share it with the world. I've been Ryan O, and we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Did you know it, Ryan O? Did